A Sky Original. Three angular white shapes form upon a black background and slide together forming a straight-edged letter O. Or again. Thin, dark curving lines appear on a white canvas. They are quickly filled by vivid colours as blue, yellow, red, purple and green paint is added. In royal blue, the word change becomes the exchange, followed by a small red dot. A maple leaf drifts through the air, settling on its stalk, to form the letter I in the name Park Pictures. A lone man carries a briefcase as bright capital letters loom into view, swallowing up the figure in the letter A of the anonymous content logo. Captions read, "In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act," commonly attributed to George Orwell. The statement disappears, leaving only the word truth.
As we enter the final week of this historic three-horse race, I'm surrounded by passionate supporters of a candidate who burst onto the scene no more than 5 months.
Lucas.
Hey.
Did you find him?
No. Not yet.
Where are you?
I'm by ATB.
A story unheard of in the history of American politics.
1 year ago, former gold medalist Nate Sterling took the political world by surprise and by storm with his best-selling manifesto, A Declaration of Independence.
A modern-day common sense.
Biggest rally yet. The independent candidate has created a tsunami, thrashing its way through America's two-party landscape as he leads Republican nominee Patricia Turnbull by 2 points with just 1 week to go. The senior senator from Tennessee beat out 10 of her fellow Republicans in the primary by courting both the moderate and far
right. President Archer will need to pull off a miracle to have any hope of securing a second term. With an approval rating in the basement, some are calling the Democratic incumbent a sitting duck.
He's about to do a hit on Politics Nightly with Jane Bauer.
Nate Sterling is set to take the stage.
Shit. Call back when you get him.
Pleased to welcome Nicholas Booker, esteemed columnist for the Washington Chronicle and Lion of the Fourth Estate.
Oh, you're too kind, Jane.
The election is a dead heat.
If it's anything like the last two elections, it could come down to a few thousand votes in a handful of swing states, or if it's a repeat of 2000, a few hundred votes. Your column is read by a few million. Your readers really listen to you. They trust you.
I call it like I see it.
What do you see here?
On a row of TV screens, the chisel-jawed Nate Sterling bounds onto stage behind a lectern, a large US flag behind him. The crowd at the rally applaud. Nate is a white man in his 40s and of a sporty, muscular build. He raises a hand to the crowd.
Well, I have good news and bad news. Which you want first? Right. Always the bad. Here it is. My little girl turned 21 yesterday. And the first thing Allison did was make sure her voter registration was current. For 21 years, those of you with kids, you know how fast the time goes. And as I looked at those candles flickering on top of that birthday cake, it brought me back to the big moments of her life. Her first words, her first steps, her first day of school. But then my mind wandered to all she'd seen in her young life. Terror reaching our shores. 2 long and costly wars. A great recession, a deadly global pandemic, classrooms getting shot up every other month, climate getting harsher by the day. Our very capital, the people's house, under siege. And the sad truth is, one party fuels this rage while the other sits on their hands and whines about it. Now, you want the good news? The good news is, my daughter Allison turned 21 yesterday. And as she blew out those candles on top of that cake, a funny thing happened. The flames reignited. So she blew them out again. And then the flames came back again. And no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't blow those candles out. And that made me think 2 things. 1, my wife has a wonderful sense of humor. And 2, just like those candles, we always come back. America always comes back. And we have to dig deep and do it again. Because Allison deserves better. Our young people deserve better. They deserve to look forward to the future the way we used to, with hope with pride, with excitement. There's no more time for cruelty or fear. There's no more time for incompetence or inaction. Their time is up. Our time is now. America's time is now. And if you stand with me, and you vote for me, and you keep fighting for real change with me, I promise, we will get our fire back too. Let me tell you how we're going to do it.
The Independent. Audio description by Kenneth Blair. 5 months earlier, sun rises across Washington.
The general election is finally upon us, and once again, we're forced to choose between the lesser of two evils. On one side, a Democrat in decline, and on the other, a Republican in the pockets of corporate America. Oh, boy. The country is mired in a recession, the whole world's on fire, and these are the best two people we can come up with? I mean, come on. Good luck, everyone. We're going to need it.
Good news. We've been bought. Again.
As I'm sure some of you have already heard, Mr. Jack Hampton is our newest overlord.
Of course, I'm going to try to minimize the casualties, but it's no secret our readership is spreading thin. If we hope to compete, we're going to have to get down in the mud with the pigs.
And how low does Mr. Hampton want us to go? Conspiracy clickbait? 10,000 words on celebrity pets?
We have to evolve. The only reason we're not worm feed like half the other papers in this godforsaken country is because we do not stop to tread water. If we don't keep swimming, we die.
You.
I'm looking for new, innovative ideas. Something that will ensure that we are all still employed come Labor Day.
We need to win the battle for millennials and Gen Z.
Uh-huh.
We program around the Facebook algorithm, expand our social media presence.
He, whose name I don't care to learn, seems to think that because I've got grandkids born before the internet, I don't know that we need to expand. Of course, I have got a whole fucking sweatshop working like a Russian troll farm to expand our social media presence. Okay, I've also got an army of halfwits twice as smart as you.
A high school in West Virginia is going to a 4-day school week because of budget cuts. I had a call with the principal.
And how's that going to sell papers?
Cutting a whole day out of the school week.
What percentage of our readership do you think has ever set foot in West Virginia? And as for the banjo pickers themselves, if it ain't Fox or InfoWars, they ain't reading it.
Well, maybe that's why they don't read the Chronicle. They got a point calling themselves the forgotten people and calling us condescending coastal elitists.
We are elite. And if you don't start acting like it, you're going to be a forgotten person before you know it.
The school in question is 90% minority. It's going to make the achievement gap even wider. Of course, the private school kids are going to be just fine.
What else?
Nate Sterling.
Ah, you again.
I hear he's jumping into the race next week.
And you think I haven't heard those rumors? It's bullshit. It's publicity for his book.
My source on the ground says he just hired Kathy Gibbs as his campaign manager.
Independents. They're like bees. Once they sting, they die. If he does announce, he might buzz around the honey jar for a week or two, but nobody outside the two-party system has ever cracked 20% of the polls. Nah, it'd be a fool's errand.
His camp secretly hired a pollster to test his numbers against potential nominees. When Turnbull secured the bid, they saw a real opening for an independent like him. They know he's going to have to thread the needle, but it's not impossible.
So, what are you suggesting?
We get in early. Prep a cover feature. The wave is coming with this guy. We may as well paddle out to the break.
Tell me why I would waste my front page on this neophyte.
Are you referring to me or Sterling, sir?
Both. You willing to bet your job on this fever dream of yours?
If we short him, we'll be kicking ourselves later. But if we're early to the party, we might just sell enough papers to give the Russian trolls an extra 10 minutes on their lunch break.
Fuck it. How can I fold when a wounded cub is all in? Ackerman, you take the reins on the Sterling feature. Choose your own co-pilot.
I'll take Conrad.
Conrad smiles smugly. He is a dark-haired, bearded white man in his early 30s.
So, you gonna give me a source at Sterling's camp? No, come on, look, I get it, all right? You wanted that story, and that was a valiant effort. It was, but, you know, karma is still a bitch.
And so am I.
Come on. Look, it's a hard time for guys like me right now. I mean, look around you.
Oh, God.
A little awareness, maybe.
Okay, thanks.
Make up your mind. Either you're a victim or a big shot. Kid gets to scoop Ackerman's shit in his first cover story. Suddenly, he's schizophrenic.
No, I was...
We're just thanking Eli for the opportunity.
Yeah.
I never liked that arrogant little boat shoe. Email me the best thing you've ever written.
Eli nods. She is an African-American woman in her mid-30s, her long hair tied behind her head.
Which piece did you send them? The Honduran refugee one?
Yeah. Holy shit, he is gonna love it.
What?
Nothing.
Eli reaches in the back seat.
What is this? Now, where did you have time to...
You've been working so hard, I thought he deserves the finest grape Safeway has on offer.
The couple exit a silver Prius and approach steps before a house.
Penny ships off tomorrow, so if my mom breaks down in tears, don't be too alarmed.
Your mom? What about you? Remember last time she deployed?
That's smart, buddy. Hi.
Hey. To my beautiful daughters, Penelope and Elisha. One makes the news and one reports it.
Wow. You make it sound so romantic. Most days I just stand by the printer and get paper cuts.
Well, you accepted the risk when you signed up for the job.
Why don't you just go AWOL and come bunk up with me and Lucas?
That'd be fun. As long as you're cool with harboring a deserter with the warrant out for her arrest.
Let's change the subject, shall we?
Eli has some breaking news.
Oh.
Well, she managed to get on the radar of one Nicholas Booker.
Nicholas Booker, huh? See, that's what you need, your own opinion column.
I'm not the Daily Tar Heel anymore, Dad. Columns don't just drop out of thin air at the Chronicle.
You won't have a real impact, change minds. You need a pulpit. Column in the Chronicle is like the Pope's balcony, for Christ's sake.
I'm working on it, Daddy. I'm just saying it might take a couple decades, that's all.
And the Dalai Lama was a god king at two.
Man has a point.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, does the man know that religion and politics are about the only two topics to avoid when you got dinner guests?
Oh, Lucas? He's practically family.
Speaking of, when are you two going to make that official?
Have you got any new additions to your collection?
No, but wait, when are we going to make it official?
No, this is important.
Right.
You know, I never asked you, which one was your first?
The day we realized the government had been lying to us all along, sending me and my friends halfway around the world to kill and be killed. Years after Nixon knew the war was unwinnable.
You have a favorite?
He did, before it was retracted.
That's what happens when you play fast.
I wasn't playing, Dad. He played me. There's a difference.
Sweetheart, you let yourself get played.
Why don't you all come in here so we can give Penny a proper send-off?
A frustrated Eli leans against the doorway as her father passes by. A Super Millions receptionist addresses Eli.
He's in meetings all day, but I can give you his card.
Thanks.
Oh, there he goes right now.
That'll be on Saturday, Strong. Thank you, Sharon.
Mr. Mayfield. Mm-hmm. Eli James, Washington Chronicle.
You're the one who keeps calling.
I'm doing a story on drastic cuts in public school budgets, and it's my
understanding... I'm late for a meeting.
Eli follows Tom Mayfield down a curving staircase.
Our boys look good this year. They play like we did against the Tar Heels in the ACC final. We might really have a shot.
You're a Blue
year.
Devil?
Yes, sir. Class of 08.
Oh, well, I got a few decades on you, as you can...
Bow ties never go out of fashion. Listen, I gotta ask, how has the recession affected your jackpots?
Has it affected all of us? The numbers might have dipped,
well,
but...
I would have thought that jackpots would rise in a recession.
How's that?
Yeah, a lot more desperate daydreamers.
I think you mean grown adults and valued customers. You should go grab a ticket yourself. You gotta be in it to win it.
Eli appears deep in thought. Now in the office, her fingers tap on the buttons of a calculator. At the top of a document from the Eastern Lottery Association, she writes in red pen, average 8%. Nicholas Booker approaches behind her.
8 p.m. tonight at the Monocle. If you're not early, you're late.
A shocked Eli turns to an unimpressed Conrad. Later, Nicholas enters the Monocle restaurant. He is a stout white man in his 70s, with silver side-parted hair, a goatee beard, and dark-rimmed glasses.
I don't have time for pleasantries. I got a hit on CNN at 10 p.m. What are you staring at?
I'm sorry. I just have read every single one of your columns since I was in seventh grade.
I don't need idol worship. I need something else from you. Okay. Sit down. I'm getting out. As soon as this election's over, I'm turning in my quill and moving to the country.
What? No, you can't retire yet.
Who are you, my accountant?
What good are you going to do out in retirement?
I'll bury myself in bourbon. I can read the fiction for a change, and I might even watch golf on Sundays.
Institutions are crumbling. Okay, reality is under attack. You
come
are the
on,
only voices out that can speak truth to power.
Tweets with cats boxing yarn get more eyeballs than a column these days. I've had a good run. What would journalism's become? I'm done with it. There's a reason they tell you not to meet your heroes.
And why did you invite me here?
Mr. Booker. And how are we tonight?
Ah, can't complain, Enrique.
Isn't that your job, sir?
Best steak in town. Only reason I allow him to get away with being such a smartass.
Oh, right. I'll just have the house salad.
Bring us two ribeye.
Rare?
Bloody. Rule number one, you want the ribeye, get the ribeye. And that's the last time I'm doing it for you.
Excuse me, Enrique? Give me the house salad. And the lobster tail. And may I? A bottle of the 04 Chablis. Feels like a good vintage.
Oh, fuck me, she's coming over.
Who are you?
Eli James. Pleasure to meet you.
A pleasure.
Your campaign finance bill proved quite the battle, Senator. Passed just in time for the run-up to the general's flawless orchestration.
Nicky never was one for small talk.
I gave you a gold star for pulling your party out of the insane asylum, but this bill...
Good bill, Nick.
It's Citizens United on meth. First corporations and now individuals.
Oh, she's feisty, this one.
But she's not wrong. How many of your billionaire boy toys are beating a path towards your bedroom door now that you've cut the chastity belt off their checkbooks?
Before you go defaming the FSCA, you might want to look up the word freedom in your pocket dictionary. Turns out people like it.
Oh, relax, relax. I'm not going to write about your free speech campaign act.
No? What you going to write about?
Your fuck small contributions act.
Listen, I'd love to flirt all night, but my husband's a jealous man. I just came by to say I look forward to Sunday's column. A good shellacking from Nicholas Booker is the best endorsement a candidate could ask for. If you need help clarifying the fine print on the bill, the door's always open.
I'll call your aide tomorrow.
I wasn't talking to you. Call any time. Don't be shy.
Rule number two. Congressmen think they're presidents, senators think they're kings, and presidents think they're God.
Yeah, well, I'm an atheist.
You married?
No.
Good. Don't.
Is that a rule or a suggestion?
I'm getting divorced. Again. Fool me twice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no. It's, congratulations is more appropriate.
Oh, well.
I think you're the one.
What does that mean, exactly?
I need someone in my corner on these next few columns. Gonna be short of time with the old lady, you know, trying to nail me to the cross. Plus, my TV schedule is wall to wall with the, you know, general heating up. You be my Angelo Dundee now, and I'll be your Don King when I get my life back.
You want me to...
I want you to help me with my columns. I'll tell you what I want to cover. You assist with research. Share your notes. Proof my drafts.
Why me?
Don't fish. It's unseemly.
No, I just...
You stood up to Gordon yesterday when most guys who'd been there 2 decades sat with their pricks in their hand. And you're writing. It's got punch. It's raw, but there's something there.
Wow. In the interest of full disclosure, I was fired from the Globe.
You wanted that felon's sob story to be true because you had something to say about the criminal justice system. You let ambition and bias blind you to the fact that that fuckwit had something to gain by bullshitting you. Moral of the story? Always follow the facts, wherever they lead. Sometimes it's not where you want to go, but you go anyway.
Is that rule number 4?
No, that's not a rule. That's a commandment. Besides, that felon had 3 strikes to his name. Why shouldn't you? Mistakes used to make you better. Now, you're not allowed to be human. Well, fuck that. You learned your lesson, and I'm buying the dip. What do you say?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, I'll need your notes on Sunday's column by noon tomorrow.
What's our angle?
Reporters use their eyes and ears, columnists use their brains. We'll know what my angle is by noon tomorrow, won't we?
Yeah.
Well, if you think Archer has a grasp on foreign policy, then tell me why he refuses to stand up to China. I mean, we've got 10 times the military spending of Russia, and yet he cowers in the face of the Kremlin. Look, he's just a weak president. I won't say it. Republicans know it, our allies and enemies abroad know it, and let's be honest, the Democrats know it too.
What are you so giddy about?
What do you like to know?
Uh-uh. How'd it go?
She twirls her coat seductively.
No. Get out of here.
It's coming down.
No. Go away.
I got you something.
Oh, yeah?
It's probably worth $44 million.
My own private island so I can have some peace and quiet. Aw. Where's yours? You didn't get one for yourself?
I already won the lottery because I have you.
How come you're never this sweet to me when you're sober?
Koalas are sweet. I am a lion.
Is that right?
Very hungry. Very hungry.
Breaking news out of the Washington Chronicle. Olympic gold medalist and best-selling author Nate Sterling is set to launch an independent campaign for president next Sunday in his hometown of Portsmouth, Ohio. The reporting out of the Washington Chronicle claims that Sterling has hired the highly sought-after Kathy Gibbs as his campaign manager. While history tells us that an independent bid faces
The Chronicle? Oh, Eli, what the fuck?
Come on, everybody knew he was running. It was like Kathy the worst-kept secret.
Nobody knew about Kathy Gibbs.
I have Eli. Other sources. I wouldn't have pitched it if I hadn't double-checked.
Am I your source or am I your boyfriend?
You never said. It was off the record.
Can't be serious.
Sorry, Lucas. I really am. I just came out. I didn't even plan on it. And then it was out. And I just...
Oh, fuck, fuck, fuck. Fuck. Who are you calling? Eli.
Senator Turnbull, please. Eli James from the Washington Chronicle. Senator Turnbull. I'm sorry to call you so late. I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on Nate Sterling entering the race. Right now? Yeah, of course. I'll be right there.
Eli, what the fuck?
I just got an interview with Patricia Turnbull.
What, now? You serious? You're drunk.
Bust. And I wouldn't have this interview if it wasn't for you, so okay. Thank you so much. No, I love you.
Wait. Cold shower.
I don't have
now.
Time.
No, now. Give me the keys. Do not go easy on her, okay?
Okay.
Listen to me.
Yes.
Anything you have seen, heard, or read under this roof is off the fucking record.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Especially in Turnbull's office.
Yeah.
Eli.
Scouts honored.
Yes, thank
scouts.
You.
No, I don't go for the there.
For Senator Turnbull.
Please sign in.
1, 2, 3.
She's expecting you.
Come on in, hon. Where is...
Evening, Senator.
Good evening.
I noticed a Tom Mayfield on your sign-in log. Is that the same Mayfield from Supermillions?
You know Tom?
I'm writing a story on Lotto.
Oh, dear. That sounds like a real tour de force.
How do you know Mr. Mayfield?
Is he the one in the bow tie?
Oh, my God, is that you?
Wow. He thinks because we dated 30 years ago, he can drop by unannounced with all kinds of suggestions. Gotta love this town. It'll even turn ex-boyfriends into lobbyists.
Mm. What is your reaction to Nate Sterling entering the race?
I look forward to a healthy, robust debate on the future of our great nation. I'm not too familiar with Mr. Sterling personally, but anyone who aspires to serve his or her country, whether it's an Olympian, a lieutenant, or a president, is okay by me. Off the record, Mr. Sterling is swimming with sharks, and he can't afford a cage.
How would you describe your relationship with Harvey Altman?
Harvey was my senior advisor for many years.
Isn't it odd that your most trusted advisor splits to found Upright Super PAC just a few weeks before you announce your candidacy?
What's odd about it?
Well, Upright is raking in loads of cash from high-dollar donors.
As is their legal right.
Thanks to your bill.
My bill gives Americans the freedom to do what they please with their hard-earned money.
You seem very fond of that word, freedom.
Oh, yes, I am. It's what this country was built on.
For some.
Hmm.
There are reports that Upright has raised upwards of $80 million in just 4 months.
And?
Won't that give the rich an outsized influence in a Turnbull administration?
Oh, hon, you talk about the rich as if they're inhuman. I started my company 40 years ago with one truck and a whole lot of elbow grease. Surely the American dream doesn't make me a bad person. I see that same fire in your eyes right now.
You didn't answer my question, Senator.
Listen, Eli. $5 million from a fat wallet and a searing column from Nicholas Booker are one in the same. Both might get me off on a good day. But if you think they so much as sway my stance on the renaming of a post office in Wasilla, Alaska, then you haven't done your homework.
Why did you invite me here tonight?
Oh, honey, you can relax. This is in the principal's office. You're here because if there's one thing I've learned over two decades in these chambers, it's to keep your friends close. And seeing as you'll be helping with the most widely read op-ed column in this country, I figured you might get to know one another. Nick is a cheapskate. I tip Enrique way better.
The two women share a knowing smile. Back in the newspaper office, Eli lifts a printout of a black and white photo from a photocopier. Now she underlines the names Tom Mayfield and Patricia Turnbull in red pen, then circles the heads of a young man and woman in the photo. Eli runs the tip of the pen down a Mayers and Goldstein client list. Turning the page, she checks a second list, then circles an entry for Super Millions Lottery, then another for Upright Super PAC. Folding down the bundle of papers, she rises from her desk. Sitting opposite, Conrad watches her depart. Nicholas Booker is sat in his office writing.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, can I ask you something? There's something gnawing at me with this whole Lotto.
What about my column?
Wrote up my notes last night.
You were drunk last night.
Just hear me out. Lotto jackpots increase during recessions. They have for every economic downturn as far back as the data goes.
Why should I care?
Because not this time. Since the recession hit, Super Millions jackpots have fallen close to 5%.
Tragic.
It's a complete 180, a behavioral impossibility. Human nature doesn't just reverse itself. And Super Millions is the only lottery that's had that kind of inversion.
Wherever you're going with this, get there faster.
Public schools that rely on that money are getting stiffed. So, where's the missing money going?
This better be good.
The director of Super Millions is a guy named Tom Mayfield, Duke alum, class of 82, Senator Turnbull's alma mater. They dated in college.
I hope you're not suggesting what I think you're suggesting.
The same accounting firm, Myers and Goldstein, handles the books for both Supermillions and Upright.
You think that Mayfield and Turnbo are embezzling funds from the lottery and smuggling into her largest super PAC?
At the expense of our nation's public schools.
Everything's a fucking conspiracy.
Upright's books are sealed shut. Thanks to Turnbull's bill, they don't have to report where the money comes from. It could all be happening under the same roof behind closed doors.
Don't be that guy.
What guy?
The bug-eyed virtual vigilante running a bullshit blog and a libelous YouTube channel out of her parents' basement.
Okay, Tom Mayfield was in Turnbull's office last night. I saw his name on the login.
Maybe they're still fucking.
Nick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Reigniting the spark.
I'm serious.
Turnbull's a bully and a misguided ideologue. She's not a crook.
All I'm asking you to do is to, you know, go into that legendary Rolodex of yours and make one or two calls. See if there's a relationship between the top brass and Myers and Goldstein and anyone in Turnbull's camp. If there's nothing there, I will drop it. I promise.
In Nate Sterling's campaign office.
How the fuck did this leak?
All right, it's done. Let's move forward. This might actually help us.
How's that?
A full week for the word to spread means more people. A ton more people. Bigger crowd means more media attention, which might bring us an air of legitimacy from the jump.
I drafted a statement last night. Get it out ASAP and get to work on as many appearances as you possibly can. Local morning shows, county fairs, you name it. We play this right. Soon it'll be late night. And if we are lucky, SNL will come calling. Got it? Good, let's get to work. Oh, and Lucas, pack your bags.
What?
You're gonna be living on the campaign bus for the next few months. I hope you like cornfields and Big Macs.
Who doesn't? Lucas. You know that I know.
Nate, I am so sorry.
That's all right. I wouldn't be here without you. And if I can't roll with the punches, I shouldn't be running for president. But we're building something here, something bigger than ourselves. So from here on out, let's just keep things close to the chest, okay? Even in your own house. Pretend you're in the CIA. See you on the campaign bus.
Details on Supermillions are written in Eli's notebook as she receives a text message from Lucas reading, "Nate knows I was the leak. Can't happen again, seriously." Nick approaches.
You double-checked a lot of stats?
Triple-checked.
Let's go.
The CEO of Myers & Goldstein hosted two private fundraisers for Turnbull and his country house during the primaries. It's probably just a coincidence, but fishy enough for us to follow the scent.
But there's still something I can't wrap my head around. If they really are cooking the books, why are they willing to risk years behind bars?
Well, government shells out $500 billion a year in contracts to the private sector. Myers and Goldstein's bread and butter.
Right. So, what now?
Well, we get someone on the inside to help us find proof and blow the whistle.
How do we do that?
That's a good question. I've got a neighbor who pushes paper for Myers and Goldstein. Got his kid into kindergarten. Buck. I love this town. I helped this poor guy piss away $30,000 in glorified daycare, and he owes me a favor.
So you'll get him to fish around?
No. He wouldn't do that. He thinks that Turnbull is Reagan and Pearls. No, but I have got you an interview with his associate in PR. So go, recruit us a double agent.
Where are you going?
I've got my own interview.
With who?
At worst, your generation's Ralph Nader. At best, the second coming of Christ. Although something tells me he's somewhere in between.
He waves his notebook as the doors slide closed. Now sat at her office computer, Eli runs a search on a social media site for the name Jennifer Cook. Locating the profile of a smiling African-American woman in her mid-30s, Eli scrolls through. In one post is an image of Nate Sterling, in another a negative post regarding Susan Turnbull. Now Eli sits in Jennifer Cook's office.
We're a perennial benefactor of the Boys and Girls Club of DC, and this year we've implemented a company-wide day of service with Habitat for Humanity.
Wow. It must be so rewarding, giving inner-city kids safe places to grow.
Mm. It really is.
Is that your little one?
Mm. That's my Maya.
She is really beautiful.
Isn't she?
Those cheeks.
You're so sweet. Do you have kids?
Maybe one day, but for now, this is my baby. So, Miss Cook, how...
Oh, please, call me Jennifer.
Jennifer, how do your company's charitable donations compare to his political donations?
I knew you'd throw a hardball sooner or later, but I'm not privy to that information. If you'd like to chat about our sustainability...
What is your opinion on Senator Patricia Turnbull?
Me personally? What does this have to do with...
Some people think she would set the country back 50 years.
Listen, between you and me, I think she'd set the country back 100 years. But I don't understand why you want to talk to me.
Myers and Goldstein handles the books for Super Millions and for Turnbull's Super PAC, Upright. Isn't that correct?
I'm sorry. I can't discuss
this. Who handles those accounts?
I'm not authorized.
Is the same executive, cover both?
Okay, I think I'm going to have to ask.
Please, Jennifer.
If you don't tell me what this is about.
I, too, think Patricia Turnbull is on the wrong side of history. And potentially the law. I think you're going to want to see this.
In his office, Nate runs on a treadmill, stepping off as Nick enters.
Planning for a comeback?
Running for president is far more grueling than decathlon.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't cancel our interview.
Why? Because your team did a better job than mine? My day may be a bit more hectic thanks to the Chronicle, but... I always keep my commitments.
All right. First question. Why?
Why?
Well, you could earn millions slapping your face on that protein shake and spending your time golfing and fishing. Not a bad life. So again, I ask you, why?
Because I suck at golf.
We've seen what happens when a narcissist with no experience turns delusions of grandeur into reality. So you tell me why this... isn't anything more than a vanity run.
Look, I think it's only fair you give me an honest evaluation before you diagnose me, Mr. Booker. I'm not just coming from the locker room to the debate stage. You know, I went to Yale.
Ah, yeah, law school. And your foundation's done a lot of good, but you're up against two candidates with damn near a century's experience between them.
How's that worked out for us, huh? You checked your retirement portfolio, Clinton? Have you been to any of these towns destroyed by flash floods or forest fires? You checked the numbers on drug overdoses or suicides? Shit, life expectancy's gone down for the first time in decades. People are desperate out there. They want somebody to do something about it. Somebody to invest in our future, not for the next 4 years, for the next 40 years. What, do I have something in my teeth?
No, I'm just trying to figure out if you're for real or full of shit.
That is for you to decide. I assure you, my work was very real to tens of thousands of grieving families.
Well, you certainly made some very powerful enemies.
Who? Big drug companies? They were selling bold-faced lies, claiming Oxy wasn't addictive. Let me ask you a question. How much do you think the NRA spent on lobbying every year?
2-3 million?
Correct. What do you think Big Pharma spent last year? 300 million. They say they got nothing to hide.
And that's why my heart medicine costs more than my alimony.
We're going to do something about that, too.
Oh, my ex-wife. Please, please do. Look me in the eye and tell me why you think you can win. Because I'll tell you what Vegas thinks. You don't stand a chance. Then what? You peel off enough votes from the president to hand Turnbull the election on a silver platter.
I don't play for silver.
Reading a document, Jennifer appears shocked.
If you are able to get me any information at all, emails, financials, expense reports, donors...
Okay, listen, I'm going to stop you right there. There has to be another way for you to get the information you need.
And what if I can't? Then what? Do we just let them get away with it? Your bosses could be committing a crime that has devastating ripple effects, and it would be a crime with no consequence, no punishment, no accountability. But that's just the way the world works, I guess, right? Nothing we can do about it. Pardon me, but fuck that. This time we can.
I'm sorry. I have my daughter to think about.
Of course.
As a disappointed Eli rises from her seat, the braided-haired Jennifer stands, a look of regret forming on her face.
I hear there's a real bad cold going around. If you have to cough, it's okay. I'll understand. Robert Friedman. Rebecca Carter. Ben Florence. Amy Parker. Spencer Erickson. You need to leave. Please. Don't contact me again.
Eli nods and mouths, thank you. Jennifer flashes a small smile and nods. As Eli departs, Jennifer exhales deeply. In a corridor, Eli sees a door marked Robert Friedman. Passing an open door, she regards a man at his desk. At the end of the corridor is the office of Spencer Erickson.
I spoke with her this morning. That's right. Okay, I'll talk to Dean and have him CC you on the latest invoices so we're all on the same page.
Pushing open a door, Eli enters the women's toilets. Looking around the plain white room, she finds it empty and enters a cubicle. Sitting down on the toilet, Eli removes her black rucksack and hangs it on the door. Time passes as she sits bored, her chin resting on her hand. Later, she checks her phone and climbs up onto the toilet, looking down at the floor and rolling her eyes. Eli checks her phone once more. The time is now 5:04. Nick enters the Washington Chronicle offices to find Ackerman and a white-haired man walking towards him carrying cardboard boxes.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, Gordon didn't have the decency to do it himself.
Son of a bitch.
Nick marches into the editor's office.
You cut our three best investigative reporters and leave the whole damn sports page intact.
Relax, Nick. Nothing I can do. This came down from above.
Oh, yeah, like the Ten Commandments. And you sure as fuck didn't follow any of those.
Look, we're bleeding cash and the investigative team is among the highest salaried employees.
First they came for the journalists. We don't know what happened after that.
Don't be so goddamn dramatic.
Well, you're the one who dropped the fucking curtain. Soon we'll be no better than the National Enquirer.
I told you, we're going to have to get down in the mud with the pigs. Times have changed.
Oh, yeah? What do you suggest we do about it?
I suggest you keep your head down and let me worry about it.
This is so weak, Gordy. I always knew you were a prick, but I never thought you were a pushover. We need to hold our best reporters tight. If there's no one to defend the truth, then we live in a fact-free world. And that's a scary fucking place to live.
What's your column about this week?
You've never asked that before.
Mr. Hampton would strongly prefer you stay out of the New York Senate race.
Oh, well, then you can tell Mr. Hampton that I'd strongly prefer he go fuck himself.
Yeah.
Nighttime. In the cubicle of Mayers and Goldstein, Eli still crouches upon the toilet. Checking her phone, the time is now 8:44. Carrying her bag, she opens the door, regards herself in the mirror, then leaves the toilet. Now in the corridor, she crosses to a wooden door, opens it, and enters a dark office. Removing her bag, she sits at a desk before a bright computer screen. Reaching in the top pocket of her white shirt, she produces a USB stick, attaches it into the computer and begins to type. On screen, an email from Jennifer is titled Hydrolite. Now Eli copies a list of folders over onto her memory stick. As a green progress bar rises, Eli's head jerks round. She fidgets nervously as the file transfer nears completion. The progress bar stalls at 97%, then jumps to 100. Removing the USB and closing the desktop, Eli ducks behind the desk as Spencer Erickson enters.
I wish you back. Your promotion. Please, get it done, okay? Thank you.
Spencer switches on the lights in the seemingly empty office and sits at his desk. Eli hides huddled beneath, his knees now perilously close.
Hey, hon. I'm at the office late tonight. Okay, I'll pick him up. But I'm gonna drop him home and head right back in. Yeah, it's killing me. Love you too.
As Spencer departs, Eli closes her eyes, relieved, her breathing shallow, before climbing out. Morning. Sunrise is shining towards the White House.
Senator Patricia Turnbull has altered her campaign schedule, adding a stop in Ohio next Sunday in what seems to be a shot across the bow of independent Nate
There's your haystack.
Holy shit. Who's your source?
That's confidential.
Is it the PR associate? I got you the damn interview. What's your angle? You want top byline?
No, I don't think...
Who is the goddamn whistleblower? You stole it?
It's everything we need.
Nick slams down a small glass trophy.
They don't give prizes to fucking shoplifters.
I hit a dead end, and so I made a judgment call. Something this big, the ends justify the means.
The ends? For who? For you?
No, the American people.
Bullshit. I should have you fired.
You're the one who should be fired. You are phoning it in right in the middle of one of the most crucial elections of both of our lifetimes. Where's the integrity in that?
Have fun back at the kids' table, scooping up Kevin Conrad's scraps.
Please, somewhere in that pile is the story of a lifetime.
I have no desire to commit career suicide just before the lifetime achievements start rolling in on the back of my pension. Literal suicide is a different question, but you're not my therapist. Now, get out of my office! We're done!
The shaken Eli returns to her desk and sits before her computer, a look of shock on her face, as she attempts to compose herself, drawing in short breaths. Exhaling deeply, Eli picks up and reaches inside her rucksack. Producing the memory stick, she holds it between her fingers and regards it, before snapping the device in half and throwing it down beside her desk.
Senator Turnbull leads all candidates in total campaign spend, having raised more cash than both Sterling and Archer for the third month in a row.
In a surprise to many, Nate Sterling has gained steam heading into July. He now sits just 6 points back from President Archer and 8 points back from...
Eli, something special is happening here. The stump speeches are starting to feel like rock concerts. I wish you were here to see it.
More dire. Some school districts are moving to a four-day school week. School boards and superintendents across the nation blame the recession, which has caused local tax revenues to fall off a cliff. Teachers have taken to GoFundMe campaigns just to acquire the bare minimum of school supplies.
In her office, Jennifer Cook frowns regarding her computer screen.
Liz, overrated. Take it easy. I'm headed to dinner with Harvey Altman. I don't know.
Like a man in a tie.
It wouldn't hurt to give a guy a compliment once in a while.
About this email encouraging us to donate to Upright Super PAC?
Yeah, I already gave him $5,000.
I don't exactly feel comfortable.
Don't be cheap. Just throw him a few bucks. Keep the boss happy.
And if I don't?
You never talk back when you were my assistant. I kind of like it.
Jennifer glares after her oily colleague and, drawing in a deep breath, stands. The drawer of her desk opens, and from it she picks out Eli's business card. She pauses briefly, weighing up her options, then slams the drawer closed. Now Jennifer marches down the corridor in Mayers and Goldstein, passing by her colleague's office doors. Reaching the entrance to Spencer's office, she looks around, then enters. Sat at her desk, Eli is writing an article on her laptop. Its potential headline, What's for Dinner? / On the Menu at the Congressional Cafeteria. On a mail trolley pushed through the office is a brown envelope addressed to Eli. She looks down as the envelope is placed on her desk. Picking it up, she regards the item suspiciously. Ripping open the jiffy bag, she reaches inside and pulls out a small black and red USB stick. Still appearing unsure, Eli checks over her shoulder. Slotting the device into her laptop, the drive appears on her desktop. Opening it, the USB is named M&G Client Details. Opening a folder, Eli scrolls down the list, reaching one titled Super Millions Lottery Inc. She stands in shock, then sitting opens the folder. Contained within are documents each referring to differing schools. Eli's phone rings with a call from her father. Ignoring it, she opens a document titled Harrison County Schools, which details a Super Millions prize of over $27,000.
Hello?
At their home, Eli sits with her parents.
How long have you known?
6 months.
Why didn't you tell me?
You had enough to worry about, and Penny was going back overseas.
How bad is it?
That's why I called. I met with the oncologist this morning and... well... go ahead, Eli. You can say it a minute. I should have quit years ago.
We'll find the best doctors.
I'm on top of it. You don't need to worry.
Don't worry. Dad, we need to act fast.
I said I'm handling it. You need to focus on your work. No, I was thinking, why don't you pitch Nicholas Booker about a column?
Dad, come on.
Look, I've been talking about cancer all day, and I'm sick of it.
He looks to his wife, whose gaze turns to Eli. The young woman appears crushed. Her mother wipes a tear from her eye. Eli blinks, slowly composing herself.
Nick and I are working on something really big, Dad.
It's good.
Yeah.
Eli grips her father's hands tightly. Now in her car.
Hey, babe. The plane's about to take off. What's up? Eli, can you hear me? Oh, shit. Eli? Is everything all right?
It's my dad. He's sick.
Sick? How sick?
Sir.
Oh, shit. Listen, I'm going to catch the first flight back, okay?
No. We're taking care of it. You're where you need to be.
Okay. I love you.
I love you too, babe.
Eli, I'm going to lose you until we land. I'm calling you back as soon as I can.
Cars travel back and forth over freeways spread across two bridges spanning a river. In his office, Nick sits alone, a hand on his brow as he writes in his notebook. A figure stands before him holding a cardboard box. It's Eli. Slowly looking up, the veteran journalist meets her nervous gaze.
Who's the source?
Jennifer Cook in PR.
Let's get to work.
At his office desk, Nick and Eli lift folders from the cardboard box.
As summer fades to fall, the race has never been tighter.
The man's trying to do something that's never been done before, and I'm just not convinced that he can pull it off.
Oh, hold on. He sold out the big house in Michigan. That's $110,000 for a political rally. I've never seen anything like it.
Okay, I mean, it is impressive, but it's not like Senator Turnbull's just going to roll over. She's had the lead since day one.
Who do you plan to vote for?
Nate Sterling.
Do you usually vote Democrat or Republican?
I've never voted before. This is my first time voting.
As Eli sifts through a pile of papers on Nick's desk, he lies asleep, leaning back in his chair, his calf hanging over the corner of the desk. Chopsticks poke out from open Chinese takeaway boxes. A tired Eli blinks as she reads a printed email titled July 4th Party Catering Invoice sent from Tom Mayfield to Spencer Erickson. The message finishes, invoice attached will keep you posted on the next one. Compliments to the chef. Eli sits up, a look of shock and realisation on her face.
Nick?
Huh?
Does it make any sense for the director of Super Millions to send an expense report for a holiday party to a partner at Myers and Goldstein?
No. An assistant would perform those menial tasks, why?
Kneeling on the floor covered in papers, Eli locates an invoice headed Patriot Cleaning. Clearing a space on the desk, she places it down alongside others as Nick rises to join her.
I think these invoices are fakes. They each contain a 4, an 8, or both. That's the tell.
Well, it's human nature to prefer some numbers over others.
This is how companies spot expense account fraud. I mean, I'm willing to bet that the Memorial Day retreat didn't even happen.
Well, any real invoices from Patriot Catering sure didn't pass through these execs.
$174,684.
Eli writes the number 174,684 on a whiteboard in blue marker pen, circling the figure.
The average Super Millions jackpot is $20 million. In recessions, jackpots increase by approximately 8%. So that means that the average jackpot should be...
$21.6
million. Correct. $21.6 million, but it's holding steady at... $19 million.
Well, that's a gap of $2.6 million per drawing.
The first Patriot Catering invoice goes back 34 weeks ago.
Two drawings a week, that's...
That is... pretty damn close to bullseye.
Holy fuck.
For every $1,000 embezzled from the Super Millions lottery and transferred to Upright, the invoice...
Show a buck.
Yeah.
That's their fucking code.
Erickson. Erickson fudges the books. Okay, the money moves in the dark of night. The invoices track the spoils, letting them communicate without having to type fraud in the subject line.
A barn full of haystacks. And you found the fucking needle.
Thank you.
The rear doors of a Patriot Catering van are open as Eli approaches down a street. She passes by, then steps back towards an employee.
Hey, can I bum a cigarette?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks. Oh, so you're the caterer.
Yeah.
Excellent job inside. Those deviled eggs are delicious.
Thanks. I wish I could tell you that I made them, but I just load them in and hand them out.
Patriot Catering.
That's us.
Haven't seen you guys before. You've been in business for a long time?
Coming up to a year.
Wow. Really new. Family owned?
Nope. This dude named Dean owns it.
Wait, not Dean Bender?
No, Dean Clifton.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Clifton.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of events coming up? Rubbing elbows with any DC bigwigs?
We got some big ones coming up, but honestly, they're like all the same to me, you know? Same bacon wrap scallops, same penguin suit, same rich folks born up the place.
You got a card?
Oh, yeah. Shit, hold on. Sorry. Here. The menu's in that link. So if you ever throw a bash, you know, we're around.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
And thanks.
Yeah. Have a good one.
You too.
Nighttime, a TV debate takes place.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. We need to move on, and I want to give Mr. Sterling a chance to respond before closing statements.
Let's face it. Washington's got one foot so far left and the other foot so far right that it can't stand up straight. Congress is doing a split in the quicksand. And I'm the only guy that can pull us out of this partisan quagmire. Why? Because I'm free. Free of special interests.
Free of party power brokers. And I'm free to explore the best ideas on both sides of the aisle.
Because I don't sit on either one.
I stand proudly in the middle.
Credentials to the debate?
Sure.
Looks like being Booker's lapdog, eh?
Toss the discus a little bit. Whoop.
But what you don't seem to understand, sir,
we're talking about decisions that can mean the difference between life and death.
The wisdom and the
tell me the truth, though. Is the old man lost this time? You know, just putting so much time into a cub with a rap sheet. If I were you, I would just keep asking myself why.
I'm trying to watch the debate.
Now, take it easy, Patricia. Mr. Sterling represented our country proudly.
I beg your pardon, Miss President. The only reason you're giving his lack of experience a hall pass is because you see in the polls that he's going to steal more votes from me than he is from you in key battleground states. But this election is about so much more than politics. And I'm not even talking about what it'll mean to millions of little girls to see a woman take the oath of office for the very first time in this country. That's significant. Oh, yes, it is. But let's leave that discussion to the history books, because what I want to talk about right now is what my administration is going to do to make your lives better. Plain and simple. Like fixing that pothole on your street, getting your 401k moving up and to the right again, keeping you and your children safe from enemies foreign and domestic, pulling us out of this recession once and for all. And most importantly, shining a light on the working people of this country who have been invisible for far too long. That's what I'm going to talk about. Thank you.
What will it mean for millions of little girls to see a female president? Far more than I could ever comprehend. But what's it going to mean for our environment? For our teachers? For our poor and middle class? To see you as president, Senator Turnbull? We are long overdue for a woman in the White House. But it can't just be any woman. It's got to be the right one. Not a woman that denied climate change is real until just last year. And that is precisely why my cabinet will be made up of 50% women at the very minimum.
Eli and Lucas enter the library of the Hotel Washington arm in arm.
You look nice.
Thanks. I can't believe we're actually in the same state. I kind of like it. Hey, you might want to ditch your credentials. Scare the personality out of everyone. Hey, Nate. Awesome job.
Thank you. What are the mosquitoes saying?
Well, most of the pundits are calling it for you, and Twitter's looking pretty bullish. But you remember my girlfriend, Eli?
That I do. I hear you're making big waves over at the Chronicle.
Splashing about in the shallow end, but I'm trying.
Sure you had to disclose that you're dating this handsome guy?
I did, but it helps that I'm not covering your campaign.
Of course. What did you think of the debate?
Honestly, I'd be surprised if you didn't poach a point or two from both parties.
She's a keeper. Mm. And you, miss, you are lucky to have a guy like this by your side.
As are you.
Speaking of which, Lucas, can I steal you for a second? There's somebody I want you to meet. Thank you.
Eli watches from a distance as Nate introduces Lucas to two men. As he shakes their hands, Eli smiles to herself.
May I take these?
Hey, Patriot Catering?
I'll be damned. How goes it?
Wait, this is the big event?
Yeah. Most exciting night of your life, right?
So boring.
You might just be serving the next president of the United States of America.
That dude? We've been catering for him since before he entered the race. The luster's worn off, plus the boss doesn't want it to spread around.
Makes sense. I mean, you probably do business with the Republicans, too.
No, just Sterling. Dean's loyal like that. I should probably get back to work.
He likes us to move around.
Dean is here?
Yeah. Talking to Sterling and Jack Hinton. He's looking over here. I better keep moving. I'll see you at the next one.
Gentlemen, how are you, sir?
Lucas rejoins a now worried-looking Eli.
Hey, that was the owner of your paper. Don't worry, I didn't embarrass you.
Who else is there?
A bunch of big donors.
The guy on the right owns a slew of catering companies.
Nate says that he is a culinary mastermind.
What's his name?
Dean something. Everyone calls him the chef.
I gotta go.
Hey, what? We just got here.
Lucas, I gotta go.
I haven't seen you in weeks and you're leaving? Eli.
Back in the office, Eli pulls out her keyboard and taps out a Google search, Nate Sterling Super PAC question mark. The top search result reads, Nate Sterling Registers Integrity Super PAC. Unlocking a drawer, Eli now looks through Mayers and Goldstein paperwork. Flicking through the pages of a client list, she runs her finger down a list of names, stopping by number 5760 Integrity Super PAC. Rising from her desk, she keeps hold of the incriminating evidence as Nick enters.
What was it?
Nick, we need to talk. Turnbull isn't embezzling money from Super Millions. Sterling is.
You think that's funny?
No, I'm serious. Patriot Catering worked his debate after party. They have catered all of Sterling's events since before he entered the race. It was right in front of our faces the whole time. Myers and Goldstein, they handled the books for Sterling's Super PAC as well.
Sterling rejected the Super PAC on principle.
In the first months of his campaign, made a big show of it, but that did not last long.
Integrity Super PAC? That's an oxymoron.
Yeah, he named it something generic to keep a low profile.
Yeah, still, this isn't definitive proof that he... Why would he be that bold? Juice isn't worth the squeeze. He's up 3 points.
He is now. But this time last year, his name wasn't on a single poll. What's the only way to win the New York City Marathon without any training? Take the subway, sneak under the rope...
On mile 18. But Mayfield, that bow-tied prick, I mean, he's a Republican. It doesn't make any sense.
I thought the same thing. So I checked out his voting records, and it turns out he left the Republican Party right after Reagan rode off into the sunset. The man has been an independent for the last 3 decades, and then he re-registered as a Republican the same month that Sterling's book hit the bestseller list. It was all calculated. Must have thought if people like us picked up a scent, it would throw us off the trail, and it worked.
What the fuck do we do now?
Follow the facts wherever they lead. Sometimes it's not where you want to go, but you go anyway.
With just 1 week to go, Nate Sterling has pulled ahead of Senator Turnbull for the first time in national polling. While the lead is still within the margin of error...
Sterling is our megaphone, our voice of reason, our moral compass, and our hope for a better tomorrow. Shit, Eli. Where did you run off to? What's wrong? See your dad.
You're gonna have to scrap that speech.
Why? The town hall's tomorrow.
Because you're not a liar.
What are you talking about?
He's funding his campaign with stolen money.
What? Who?
Sterling.
What are you saying?
I have hard evidence. He's embezzling money from the lottery and funneling it to his super PAC.
What? That's crazy.
It's the truth. Nick and I have been working this story.
No. Why are you telling me this?
I guess I thought you might like to know that your hero is a fraud.
Hey, stop!
And because I need your help.
Are you listening to yourself?
I need someone on the inside to prove he signed off on it. Here. I need you to fill this with Sterling's hard drive. We don't have much time.
You're delusional.
God damn it, Lucas. You're in denial.
Oh, you can't fucking help yourself, can you? Only this time, when you blow yourself up, you could take me and the whole goddamn country down with you.
No, this is different. This is real.
Okay. Let's say that it is real. You go from reporting back page news to being front page news. I get, what, a seat on the witness stand in the trial of the century when the only thing I have witnessed is a good man trying to save his country. We get hate mail from our friends, the people we respect, and then what? Gun-toting, gay-bashing, autocratic zealots, they declare us heroes, and the navel-gazing, holier-than-thou woke mob, they throw us a fucking parade. Congratulations to the both of us.
Lucas, please calm down and just think.
No, you think! Are you willing to keep Penny at war for the next 10 years? No, are you willing to sit on your hands while the fucking earth fries? Because I'm not.
The money that he is stealing is coming from schools like that one in West Virginia. Okay, those kids, black and brown kids, are losing access to a fair and equal education.
Eli, it is so much bigger than...
Don't you fucking finish that thought! Why doesn't this matter to you? They matter! Everyone else in this country can act like they
don't exist. He is what this country needs!
A liar is the last thing this country needs! Liars are what fucked this country up in the first place! Iraq has stockpiles of WMDs. The housing market will continue to rise. The election was rigged. Redlining. The war on drugs, voter suppression. Everywhere you look, lobbyists, pundits, bankers, preachers, billion-dollar industries that run on lies.
What is it that you want, Eli?
I want the truth.
Yeah, well, you've been duped before, so.
Did you know Lucas?
I can't believe you would even think that.
I'm publishing this story, with or without your help.
You publish this story, I don't want anything to do with you.
That is not fair.
What do you want me to say? Love fades, values don't.
Eli glares at him, then picking up her rucksack, keys and a coat, leaves via the front door.
That's my fucking jacket! Nice.
She hurls the jacket to the floor, grabs her own, and exits for a second time. Outside, Eli climbs into her car, tears streaking her cheeks. Looking down to the passenger seat, upon it sits a small white security card bearing the name Lucas Nichol. Eli taps at her phone, then holds it to her ear.
Meet me at Recessions. Two blocks northwest to Farragut Square. I have something.
Sat at a bar, Eli holds Lucas's security card as Nick joins her.
We need proof that Sterling knew.
Eli.
I'm going tonight.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Eli. You're being irrational. There's a right way and a wrong way.
If you want the ribeye, you go get the ribeye.
Not if it's contaminated. That ends a career before it starts.
Well, I've already lost my relationship. I'm losing my dad, so why not throw in a career for good measure?
You're losing your mind is what you're losing. Wait. Relationship?
Lucas refuses to believe.
Oh, fuck, Eli. You told him? They'll have the place power cleaned in an hour.
She rushes away. Nick notices her phone on the bar as Lucas calls.
Eli.
Hello?
Eli, wait, who is this? Nick,
hang on.
Put Eli on.
Just talk to him, Eli.
I'm sorry, Lucas, he just doesn't want to talk to you.
Where are you?
At Recessions.
On 18th and L.
Bullshit, you're at the campaign office.
I'm on my way. Don't do anything stupid.
You sing karaoke this good at the campaign?
Shit. All right, just
tell her to stay right there.
At night, the illuminated domed roof of the White House rises up out of the sprawling city of Washington. Outside a building, Eli holds the security card against a panel, then enters through a glass door. She flashes Lucas's pass at a security guard, stood by posters promoting Nate Sterling. He nods, and she walks by down a corridor. Entering a shadowy office, Eli sits at a computer, its bright screensaver stating Sterling for President, Country Over Party. In her hand, she grips a small USB stick. Holding it up, she stares intently at the small device, then closes her eyes and bows her head.
Shit.
A worried Eli stares at a shocked Nate.
What the hell are you doing here? It's past midnight. Lucas is...
I have numbers, emails, names.
Sorry, what?
Tom Mayfield, Spencer Erickson, Dean Clifton, Patriot Catering. I have concrete evidence of all parties involved.
You give me one good reason right now I shouldn't call Secret Service and throw you in jail.
We'd be sharing a cell.
Bullshit.
I would think twice before you call security. The story is already written. It's in the drafts. You have me arrested. It goes on Twitter instantly. Newspapers in the morning.
What's this little story about?
You know what it's about.
Enlighten me.
But it's always about money. Did you know?
Know what? What I know is I love my country. All right, I'm our best hope. I give us a fighting chance.
Wow.
As Eli walks out into the main office, Nate follows after, then stands before her.
Are you a patriot, Eli?
Patriots don't steal from the American people.
Who are you to accuse anyone of stealing, you fucking hypocrite? Give it to me.
She hands over the security pass. Nate turns away as Lucas glares at his girlfriend. Nate speaks.
You know, I think you and I have a lot in common, Eli. For one, we both lacked experience. Turnbull and Archer canaries with that attack line. I'm ahead and
And every one of the polls, economy, hot buttons, the race, still dead heat. Why is that? Because unfortunately for me, and for you, experience seems to matter. The way I see it, your story might cause a little stir. But when it comes down to it, who's going to believe you? You lack the most vital asset a journalist must have, credibility.
Looks like I'm late to the party.
Mr. Booker was
surprised. Sit the fuck down. Now, let us all take a deep breath and talk this out like the rational people we are.
Nate, don't say a word. Eli records everything on her phone.
What?
Let me see.
Get off. It's not on me. Hey, no. Leave
that won't be necessary.
Hey, you want to talk or what?
He hands his phone to Lucas, who drops it into a full mug of coffee.
What the fuck?
All right. Let's just take a deep breath. Sit down and talk this out, okay? This is obviously some sort of huge misunderstanding.
We know what you did.
Okay. With all due respect, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Maybe you don't. But right now, there are two assholes saying you do. There's no need for us to bluff. We don't have a smoking gun, but as my esteemed colleague has no doubt informed you, we've got the bullets, the casings, and the goddamn forensic report. The whole story tied in a bow, just waiting for the proof that you knew about it. If we do decide to print, you got every news outlet in the country on a scavenger hunt for proof of your involvement.
There is no proof of my involvement.
The allegation itself knocks you out of the White House. You'll spend the next few years in court. And if you did know, the next couple of decades in prison. So, the way I see it, if you want any hope of reversing this unfortunate chain of events, you will tell us the God's honest truth, right here and now.
Okay.
But before you do, a disclaimer. I've worked in this town for 52 years. That makes me one of the world's foremost experts at spotting a liar. Lie to me, and you lose. The election and your freedom. But lucky for you, the truth may still set you free, because believe it or not, I'm still grappling with a truly punishing question. Is it worth it?
A conflicted Nate looks towards Lucas, then turns away, suddenly less assured.
I don't have a party war chest, okay? This thing was just a temporary fix to get me to the starting line. We're going to give it all back as soon as we're in a position to do so. This is no harm, no foul. It's victimless.
Tell that to the class of invisible kids in West Virginia.
How do we make this okay? First interview after I'm sworn in. Exclusives. For 8 years after that, if there's a leak coming from the White House, you're the two pots catching it. You have my word.
Eli. What about Penny? You worry for your sister's safety every day that she's serving overseas, and with your father undergoing chemotherapy.
I can't imagine how hard that must be. And your sister, Penny, is...
Lieutenant Penelope James.
We could work out honorable discharge for her the day I'm sworn in. Your sister deserves to be with your dad during his treatments.
If I wasn't so inexperienced, I would think you were using a commissioned officer as collateral in a bribe.
I would more call it an agreement amongst friends. Look, I feel for you, Eli. Cancer took my mom. And the emotional toll is hard. But the treatments add up. And until we can get in there and reform the healthcare system, I don't want your parents be crushed under the weight of medical bills. And we can make sure that doesn't happen. We are on the same team here. And if you want to make real, lasting change, well, you just got to play the game, and that's the reality of it.
You were supposed to change the game.
A stunned Nate watches her depart. Lucas frowns, shaking his head. Nate stares down, realizing the gravity of his actions. The tall stone Washington Monument rises into the night sky. In the Washington Chronicle office, Eli sits at a laptop typing quickly. A figure enters the dark office and approaches behind her. It's Nick.
I had a hunch I'd find you here.
I'm getting it all down. Everything that crooked fucking con man.
We don't have enough to publish.
But he just admitted...
Unless we find hard evidence that Sterling himself knew, we're just a couple of trees falling in the woods.
So what do we do now?
Tee it all up. Everything we know. I'll track Sterling to his rally in Atlanta and see if we can crack the safe.
Eli considers this. Morning. The Washington Monument is bathed in pink light against the pastel-coloured sky. Opening the front door of her apartment, Eli stops, then switches on the light. Ahead of her, kitchen drawers hang open. In the living room, documents, notebooks and furniture are strewn on the floor. The journalist rushes out. Outside her parents' house, Eli checks over her shoulder as she rushes to the front door and enters.
Mom? Dad? Where are you? I'm calling the police! They trashed my apartment!
Lucas appears through a doorway.
What are you doing here?
Thank God you're okay. I looked everywhere.
No, get out, Lucas.
Eli, calm down.
Daddy,
Lucas
no,
told
okay,
us.
Don't believe a word that he has to say, okay?
We're going to give it all back as soon as we're in a position to do so. This is no harm, no foul. It's victimless.
Tell that to the class of invisible.
Oh, my God. Did Nick know?
No. He still doesn't. I had to commit, or his face would have given me away. And honestly, I didn't decide to do it until I was standing outside of the office.
You know this doesn't fix everything.
I know. I needed you to be wrong. I love you. That's all I got.
I need to tell Nick. He's on his way to Sterling's rally right now.
I'm flying with the campaign. I'll track him down and tell him. You go work on your story.
I'll just call him.
That might be difficult. The last time I saw Nick's phone, it was floating in Sterling's coffee.
Right.
Nate Sterling will be in Atlanta tonight while Senator Turnbull travels to Florida.
And Nate
looking
Sterling
to regain
is trending on social media as excitement
Senator
over
Turnbull
his campaign.
All candidates in total campaign spend, having raised more cash than both Sterling and Archer for the third month in a row.
Lucas.
Hey.
Did you find him?
No, not yet.
Where are you?
By ATB.
A declaration of independence. 20 million dollars later, and some are calling Sterling the most influential political.
Nothing.
It's like a zoo with no cages.
Here we are at Nate Sterling's biggest rally yet.
He's about to do a hit on Politics Nightly with Jane Bauer.
Crashing its way through America's two-party landscape as he leads by 2 points with just 1 week to go.
Tennessee wrote a populist wave to the nomination, killing the John Lewis Voting Rights Act along the way.
I got him.
The recession has began just over a year ago. And with no end in sight, President Archer will be across the mirror.
I need to talk to Mr. Booker.
Nate Sterling is set to take the stage any minute now to make his closing argument.
Shit.
But until then,
call back when you get him.
By Nicholas Booker, esteemed columnist for the Washington Chronicle and Lion of the Fourth Estate. The election is a dead heat.
Mm-hmm.
If it's anything like the last two elections, it could come down to a few thousand votes in a handful of swing states, or if it's a repeat of 2000, a few hundred votes. Your column is read by a few million. Your readers really listen to you. They trust you.
I call it like I see it.
What do you see here?
Nick's face falls, seeing Lucas. Stood in the newspaper office, Eli watches on TV screens as Nate Sterling takes to the stage. She folds her arms. Nate's supporters wave small flags. A banner on the TV news reads Sterling surges in latest polls. The bashful-looking Nate holds up a hand asking for calm and shakes his head, smiling.
Well, I have good news and bad news. What does she want first?
Eli sits down at her computer. On screen, the beginning of an article is headlined Nate Sterling caught in far-reaching embezzlement scheme. Sterling admission caught on tape. Eli quickly types out text below.
Hello? No, slow down. Okay.
Conrad watches as Eli rushes out of the office. His head turns, his gaze falling upon her computer. Now he casually approaches her empty desk. Using the end of his pen, he opens a notebook before his hand settles upon her computer's mouse. Presidential candidate Nate Sterling continues his speech.
And the other just sits on its hands and whines about it.
Conrad leans forward, seeing Eli's headline.
Our young people deserve better. They deserve to look forward to the future the way we used to, with hope, with pride, with excitement.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, what?
Sorry.
Holy. This is unreal.
At Eli's parents' house, she and Lucas help her mother tidy up in the kitchen. The front door opens, and Nick enters.
Oh, hey, Lynn, I got it.
Nick approaches Lynn and regards her empathetically.
So sorry for your loss, Mrs. James.
Thank you. Thank you for being so good to my daughter.
You and your husband have raised a fine young woman. How fast can you finish the story?
I'm about to bury my dad. Maybe you should just take over.
It's your story. You found it. You pushed it. You're writing it. And if we're doing it, we got to be quick. We've got 24 hours, tops. And it's got to be airtight. I'll take care of the rest. And I'm sorry about your father.
Nighttime. The White House is lit up warmly against a grey and pink sky. In her office, Patricia Turnbull answers her phone.
Hello, Eli.
Nick and I have a story ready for publication that just might decide the next president of the United States.
Is that so? Should I be worried?
Why do you want to be president?
Senator Turnbull. Look, Eli, I assume we don't agree on most policy. But one thing we do both value is the truth. So I'm going to give you mine.
Right now, I am running as the leader of my party. But should I be fortunate enough to take that oath on January 20?
I will be governing as the leader of my country.
Our democracy is fragile. You protect it from the outside by doing what you do.
And if I get the chance, I am going to protect it from the inside with everything I've got.
And off the record?
Take care, Eli.
Eli regards her phone. Now she steps into her father's dimly lit home office. She touches books on a shelf, then sits down at a desk, illuminated by a horizontal desk lamp. Reaching down, she picks up her father's colourful striped and patterned jumper, placing her hands through it and pulling it down over her head and body. A warm, relaxed calm washes over her and she smiles. Before holding her wrists up to her face, she buries her nose into the fabric, breathing in deeply. On the desk is a black and white photo of her father as a younger man. Picking it up, Eli smiles. A brown envelope is labelled Alicia. Emptying its contents, Eli finds a copy of the Washington Chronicle with a purple handwritten post-it note stuck to it reading, "This one is my favourite. Always has been. Dad." Removing the paper from its plastic wallet, Eli unfolds it and begins to read. Looking up, she appears unsure as a figure appears in the doorway behind her. Turning, Eli sees her mother, who smiles warmly at her daughter.
"I don't understand. What's so special about this one?"
"The day you were born.
I never got to say goodbye.
We thought it was another false alarm from the chemo. He knew that you were at the Chronicle writing. He insisted that that was where you needed to be. He loved you. He's so proud."
Lynn kisses her daughter's head, then departs. Eli picks up the newspaper and, smiling, shakes her head. She carefully folds up the newspaper, then props up and addresses the black and white photo of her father.
"Okay."
Tears streak her cheeks as, opening her laptop, Eli begins to type, adding more text to her article detailing Nate Sterling's involvement in the embezzlement scheme. Daytime. Sun shines onto the porch of Eli's parents' white wood-panelled house. The front door opens, and wearing slippers, grey tracksuit bottoms and her father's oversized colourful jumper, Eli picks up a folded copy of the Washington Chronicle. She reads the headline stating, "Sterling extends lead after stirring rally in Atlanta."
"Where are you?"
"Kevin."
"Hey, where are you?"
"I'm at my parents' house."
"All right, meet me at the diner on 4th and Delaware in 20 minutes, all right?"
"I'm not
doing that."
"It's an emergency."
"What is this about?"
"Look, I was fired."
"Why?"
"Because I know the names Tom Mayfield, Dean Clifton,
and Spencer Erickson."
Eli stares at her phone in disbelief. Now stony-faced, she enters a diner and sits at a table facing Conrad.
"How the fuck do you know those names?"
The other night, when you got that call and you left in a hurry, you didn't log out, and Gordon assumed it was mine. Look, I didn't say anything, because I was in shock, and Gordon flipped for it. I thought I'd be waking up to a headline that would change the course of history. So why did I instead wake up to an email informing me that the Chronicle was terminating my contract? I mean, I rushed to the office, and security wouldn't even let me in the building. Apparently, Gordon had HR clean out my desk and wipe my desktop."
"Gordon killed the story to save his own ass."
"Why? Why would he?"
"Jack Hampton. He's a huge Sterling supporter. Gordon prints the story, Hampton orders his head on a platter, Gordon kills the story, Sterling wins, and guess which paper has a direct line to the Oval Office?"
"So Gordon is playing politics dirtier than the goddamn politicians?" "Please, nail that motherfucker."
"I can't believe you let Gordon think it was your story."
"I never said that it was. And as it turns out, I did you a favor. So, you're welcome."
Stopping, she returns to the table and roots around in her pocket.
"No, Eli, I got it, please."
"You're unemployed. It wouldn't be right. Prick." "Have you shown Gordon the story?"
"I'm waiting for you. You should get to see the look on his face. Where the fuck are you?"
"I'm on my way. Whatever you do, don't talk to Gordon."
In Nick's office.
"And I thought I'd seen it all."
"You're doing this?" "What?"
"If the weight of the world lies in the palm of my hand, I guess I thought it'd be a bit heavier. You know what this means. If we go through with this, And you're willing?
I guess that's why they call it the moment of truth.
It's your story.
What? No, I stumbled upon it, yeah, but you guided me. If you hadn't have gotten me that interview at Myers and
you would have gotten in some other way. I doubted you. You fought through the doubt and took me for the ride. I didn't provide anything that you didn't already.
You can now.
What?
Credibility. Sterling was right. Nobody knows my name, and those that do aren't so fond of it. If I were to publish this on my own, it wouldn't get any traction, or worse, it'll get dismissed. But coming from Nicholas Booker, it'll be on every front page and television network in minutes. We need to do this together. And after we break the story, we can set up our own shop. No editor or parent corporation to tell us what we can and can't print. A publication that answers to nothing but the facts, wherever they lead.
What would we call it?
The Independent.
The Independent.
Nick points towards his desk and they sit down together, side by side. Nick opens a laptop, its screen illuminating his face, as he takes in a deep breath. His wrinkled fingers tap steadily at the keys, as Eli regards the screen intently, a brief smile forming on her lips. As Nick completes his work, he turns towards his protégé.
You do the honors.
Eli appears shocked as Nick slides across the laptop. He watches her proudly as at the top of the article beside the name Nicholas Booker, she deletes her abbreviated forename Eli, replacing it with her full name Alicia James. Eli pauses, then throws herself at Nick, hugging him tightly.
Thank you.
Eli's fingers tap at the laptop keyboard. A text box appears with a link to the duo's article. Eli posts the tweet.
Now what?
What do you say we get the hell out of here?
And go where?
Watch the fireworks on the hill.
Out in the Chronicle's main office, journalists rush around. Two men talk heatedly. A dark-haired woman talks on the phone. Other team members check their devices. Editor Gordon stands leaning over a desk as a man sat beside him passes him a smartphone. He stands upright as he begins to read. Eli walks out into the office, Nick following behind. Seeing them, Gordon steps away from the desk and with a glum expression on his face, stands facing Nick.
50 years, Gordon. I didn't know you had it in you. I was just trying to protect everyone in here. And I'm just trying to protect everyone out there.
Journalists in the office look round as Nick steps towards the solemn-looking Gordon.
Take care, Gordon.
Think they'll read this one in West Virginia?
Eli smiles, then joins Nick, as with their heads held high, they slowly walk out through the office. A happy Eli looks warmly towards her mentor. The end.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved in liberating strife. Singing something like this. Listen here. Oh, beautiful life, far spacious skies, far amber waves of rain,
purple mountain majesties. Above the fruited plain. But now wait a minute, I'm talking about America. Sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. Yes, he